A Christmas night anti-police protest in Oakland, California.
Clearly some damage was done.
Mourners pay tribute to fallen New York City police officers.
They're loved by many.
And a Border Patrol killing has one activist asking,
why? What went wrong?
Good morning. I'm Peter King with a CBS World News Roundup. Christmas Day was no holiday for protesters in Oakland. Angry about police treatment of minorities, dozens of people marched through downtown Oakland. Smashed windows at several businesses, tore decorations off the city's Christmas tree, and more. KCBS reporter Megan Goldsby.
The lights are torn out and Christmas bulbs lay smashed all around the giant tree in Jack London Square. It was the work of a group of protesters using the banner No Time Off. They also lit a dumpster fire and broke storefront windows, their goal to cause enough havoc that every Oakland police officer would be called into work. And that is what happened, but before the group ever took to the street. Because of recent protests like this one, the OPD had already canceled all time off requests.
And police say they made no arrests. It was no doubt a difficult holiday for families of two New York City police officers who were gunned down last weekend. Last night, this officer was one of many who went to the site of the shooting in Brooklyn to remember them.
But one of the first things I did after my kids got up and they opened their gifts, I told my wife that we have to come down here.
About a dozen members of Officer Rafael Ramos's family were there to say thanks. Today, they'll remember him at a wake in Queens. CBS's Don Champion is there.
As much as they hurt, we hurt with them.
In Glendale, Queens, blue ribbons are now on display for blocks leading to Christ Tabernacle Church, where Ramos's family and friends will begin to say goodbye today.
My thoughts and prayers are with the families.
More than 20,000 members of law enforcement from across the U.S. and Canada will come to New York City over the coming days to pay respects to Ramos. Many New Yorkers hope things will remain peaceful despite ongoing demonstrations against police over recent officer-involved killings.
And there's been a new threat on New York City cops. CBS's Vladimir Duthier.
Police say they were tipped off by a 911 call. A man said he overheard someone talking on their cell phone about killing cops and saying he had guns in his possession. Police soon found and arrested 38-year-old Elvin Payams, who they say matched the description of the suspect. A search of his home turned up a small arsenal of weapons, including two guns, two bulletproof vests, and a pair of brass knuckles.
Many Americans are already headed to malls and other places for what they hope will be post-Christmas bargains. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says the deals are out there.
Apparel, home goods, and I'll tell you something that's pretty amazing. Cars. You may be able to bargain your way to an amazing deal. All these dealerships are trying to get the old inventory off the lots.
And if you're returning or exchanging something, CBS's Lauren Lister has a few things to keep in mind before you go.
For those looking to return holiday gifts, you may find retailers asking for ID more and restricting return times. That's in part due to fraudulent returns. A recent National Retail Federation survey showed they'll cost the industry $3.8 billion this holiday season. Some tips? Experts advise to keep gifts in good condition, stick to return times, but don't stress too much about the receipt. Your ID will likely do.
And the joy of getting an Xbox or PlayStation for Christmas quickly disappeared for many after hackers calling themselves the Lizard Squad broke into Microsoft and Sony servers and locked game players out. CNET editor-at-large Tim Stevens.
This group is basically just trying to be the biggest Grinch of all time, more or less, trying to prevent people from getting online and enjoying their new systems. There doesn't appear to be any connection with North Korea.
President Obama is reflecting on the end of the U.S. combat mission in what has become the longest war in U.S. history. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer is with the president in Honolulu.
Next week's official end of the U.S. combat mission in Afghanistan is a legacy issue for President Obama heading into his final 2 years in office. At a holiday celebration with Marines here, he said both countries will be more secure.
Afghanistan has a chance to rebuild its own country. We are safer. It's not going to be a source of terrorist attacks again.
But the president is also preparing the nation for more dangers ahead, as thousands of U.S. troops remain in advisory roles in the anti-terror fights in Afghanistan and Iraq. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Honolulu.
Death at the California-Mexico border, where police say a man who was taken aside for questioning attacked two inspectors. He died after they shot him with a stun gun. Customs Service says the dead man had been wanted for a felony charge. He was considered armed and dangerous and had tried to bring heroin into the country. Pedro Rios with the American Friends Service Committee wants to know more.
In the past, we have not had transparent investigations, so it's important to know what exactly happened that led to this man's death.
American Stacy Addison has been held for months in the Southeast Asia country of East Timor, but she's now out of prison. KOIN-TV reporter Chris Woodard has more from Addison's hometown of Portland, Oregon.
Addison's nightmare started in September. As a veterinarian, she'd been traveling the world helping animals when she was arrested and thrown in an East Timor jail, held without ever being charged. She had shared a taxi with a stranger who was carrying drugs and was arrested with him.
The U.S., South Korea, and Japan will sign their first joint intelligence sharing agreement next Monday, sharing information about North Korea's nuclear and missile programs. Reporter Andrew Salmon is in Seoul.
Washington has made no secret of the fact that it would like much stronger security ties, uniting Washington, Tokyo, and Seoul. China is a rising force in the region, and of course there is the very real threat of North Korea.
The U.S. already has separate bilateral intelligence sharing agreements with South Korea and Japan, but until now there has been none between Seoul and Tokyo, partly due to some contentious historical disputes. In Phuket, Thailand, a small beachside ceremony marks the 10th anniversary of the Indian Ocean earthquake and tsunami that killed more than 230,000 people, mostly in Thailand, India, Indonesia, and Sri Lanka. CBS's Robert Berger covered the story and has this look back.
The devastation in Aceh province, Indonesia, was mind-boggling. Everything was flattened for miles upon miles as far as the eye could see. Corpses lay rotting on the streets because they ran out of body bags. There was an eerie silence. People were either swept away or fled. One of the most enduring images was a large fishing boat perched on the ruins nearly 2 miles from shore.
Former President George H.W. Bush remains hospitalized in Houston, but his spokesman says he's feeling much better, he's in great spirits, and that Christmas Day was another terrific day for him. The interview has premiered here in the U.S. and in China, where tens of thousands watched it illegally. CBS's Shannon Van Sant.
More than 300,000 people in China have watched pirated copies of the movie The Interview online after Sony released the picture, and reviews are mixed. On many Chinese video sharing sites, the film's title was translated as Assassinate Kim Jong-un. Shannon Van Sant, CBS News, Beijing.
A Christmas special delivery has a new meaning for a Philadelphia woman who gave birth on the subway with a big assist from transit cops. They coached her through the delivery, unwrapped the umbilical from the baby's neck, while the new dad wrapped the newborn boy in a shirt to keep him warm. Mother and baby are resting at a hospital and said to be doing fine. And that's the World News Roundup for Friday, December 26th, 2014, the broadcast produced this week by Paul Farry and Jennifer Brown. I'm Peter King, CBS News.